Good morning, family. I'm an addict recovering from the disease of addiction, and my name is Mustafa. First and foremost, I want to thank God for the gift of the moment. And I want to thank the Southern Region Committee of Narcotics Anonymous for have chosen me and taking the Narcotics Anonymous risk to ask me to come and share my experience, my strength, and my hope with you of recovery this morning. And I'd like to say congratulations on your 18th. I want to say welcome to the newcomer, welcome to those coming back, and welcome to the pioneers that kept the doors open of this fellowship. Welcome to those who stay in the trenches. And remember that clean time is important. It's more than just for today. The reality of it is that if clean time wasn't important, we wouldn't keep coming back. And before I start, and this is not an imposition of any kind, but in order to reach the Spirit, you have to come from the Spirit. So reach out to the person next to you, give them a hug, and say, I'll be there for you. Okay, family. A handshake is nice, but a hug is better. This is a fellowship of hugs. One of the things that I want to share about this particular morning with you is that this is the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. It is a fellowship of inclusion, not exclusion. It's not so important on how we got here. What is important is how we stay here. And we stay here because we care enough about someone else to learn in the process to love ourselves through someone else. And for this addict, growing up in New York City, in Brooklyn, in a housing project, it was never about hugs, it was always about drugs. It was always about finding a way to get out of myself to deal with the reality of my existence that I wanted to deny because I didn't think or believe that I was worthy of any accomplishment. In Narcotics Anonymous, we talk about having a disease, which means that I am not at ease with self. What I do know is about this particular fellowship is that our focus is on the disease of addiction, not the substance. That if the drugs don't get you, the lifestyle will. That grandiosity may tell me that when I was out there in the streets of New York, that I was my best customer, but in reality, I was my only customer. I did not swing a package swung me. And one of the things about this disease of addiction is that is a disease of blame. It would rather me tell you that it's your fault than for me to live up to the personal responsibilities of my action. It will let you know that it was because I came from a so-called non-functioning family, whatever that may be. It would tell you that because of my environmental conditions that I became an addict. But the reality of it is, there was a point in my life when I made a decision and I had a conscious choice to either be a victim or become a volunteer. And I'm a volunteer. I've always knew the difference between right and wrong. My family gave me values and they gave me the best that they could give me. But I would always rather hang on to the fact of how miserable my life was coming up, because I was physically abused by a father who had this disease and didn't get any help. So it was always about trying to ease the pain. It was about trying to ease the pain of the reality of my life and of my condition. I wasn't pleased with it. And what I realized was that until I change the condition of my heart, nothing will change. Because if nothing changes, nothing changes. Yeah. What I'm realizing a day at a time is that it's real easy for me to blame those who don't do what I want them to do, because all of a sudden, after being around here for a little while, I start getting a character defect called self-righteousness. And what happens is, because of self-righteousness, I don't allow people to be where they're at in their recovery. One of the things that I am sure of is that I'm perfectly imperfect. God did not go on vacation and put Mustafa in charge. I also have to get real with myself to the degree to remember that not every thought that comes into my mind or into my spirit is necessarily God's will for me. God can sometimes be a convenience. And if the word God scares us, I know a more terrifying word called hell. And I'm not talking about hell in a dogmatic religious type aspect. I'm talking about the hell of being imprisoned within your own mind and being your own slave master. And that hell is addiction. It takes no prisoners. And if sometimes we do not believe that we hit bottom, there's always a trap door behind every bottom. The ultimate bottom is death. We need to ask ourselves, are we willing to pay the high price for low living? This disease is an equal opportunity employer. Affirmative action at its best. From park row to park bench, it will take us from Yale to jail. It doesn't care whether you have a job or not, it will give you one. It will make us hustle or be hustled. It will make you a player or a trick. And one of the things for sure that we all have in common is that when we came in here, we all lost our L. What am I saying? We came in here slick, we lost our L, and we realized we were sick. And one of the things that I know about this disease is that this disease is not so important where it started for me as much as it is what am I doing about it. See, the summation of my addiction can be given in three words: a rejection of reality. I was never comfortable in my own skin. I started to use drugs at the age of 7. And I said drugs because alcohol is a drug. Yeah. I do not have to distinguish the social acceptability of one substance for the illegality of another. A drug is a drug is a drug. And that's why I'm so grateful that when I came here, I was paper trained in Narcotics Anonymous. That I didn't have to start wondering, when do I get involved with the steps? For some of us who wonder, when should we get involved with the steps, the solution to our problems being ourselves, the answer is real simple. How soon do we want to get better? It's not my sponsor's responsibility to work my recovery for me. It's not my sponsor's responsibility to serve as a cushion and enable me and cushion me from the pain of growing up. See, one of the things that I've learned about life is that life does not have to be fair. Life just has to be. And that's not an unrealistic expectation, it's a guarantee. Thank God for mercy, not for justice. If I had received justice, I would still be doing a bid. If I had received justice, I may have been spared and wound up in the morgue with a toll tag. But because I received mercy, God's unmerited favor, basically defined as grace, something that was given to me which I did nothing to attain, I'm here today. But I'm not here alone. And I don't believe that some of us are chosen. I believe that we're all blessed. And God is not a gambler, so he doesn't play favorites. Amen. Sometimes we could get real hung up on all that we hear and take it to be truth. One of the things about truth is that the truth needs no proof. That the truth is a holler, even at a whisper. That honesty can be negotiable. Because sometimes it is honesty with omission. A half truth is a whole lie. And there is no right way to do the wrong thing. One of the things is that in being here and being a part of this fellowship, one of the things that it has done for this addict, it has shown me how to have a greater respect for life. And I'm not going to say that I was afraid of success, because I never feared what I didn't have. I was always afraid and hung up and going through two emotions, anger and fear. And an acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. An emotional involvement with a possibility where I mentally masturbate myself for an outcome. It's getting hooked up in what hasn't happened because I want it to happen. And that's the nature of my disease. Vito talks about this disease being a disease of personalities, of a general negative outlook on life, deep-rooted in insecurity, in fear, and in low self-esteem. But one of the things that I know about esteem is that esteem is directly proportioned to how I value myself. And I value myself when I express myself with gratitude. Because gratitude is thankful appreciation for favors received. Gratitude is an action word. Gratitude is about touching your spirit unconditionally and not expecting anything back, because my responsibility is to reach out and touch, not to run away and hide. Yeah. One of the things is that all my life I lived in illusion. All my life, I was everything that I had to be so I can use and continue the process of using. I would sell your body, my body, and anybody. And it didn't matter in which order it came, but it had to happen. And what happens is, when I walked into these rooms, I came into these rooms in 1986. But I didn't surrender till 1988. And I didn't surrender till 1988 because I cashed in on a reservation. I cashed in on a condition that I have placed on my recovery. And the condition was real simple. The condition was that I can make meetings and still be around people, places, and things. That I thought my meetings were enough of an insurance policy to allow me to go to the Lion's Den and change my name to Daniel. And as a result of that, as a result of total self-centeredness, the core of this disease, I figured out that I can do it my way. And it was only a matter of time before I relapsed. And for those of you that are here, remember one thing. Relapse is not a prerequisite. It is not a requirement. But it is something that does happen, and no one of us, regardless of how clean time, is exempt. Sometimes, and I'm not going to agree with the fact that sometimes it is necessary, but what I do know is that sometimes we need to get back into the valley to be able to get to the plateau. Sometimes we have to go down and get taken away from us what we love most in order to appreciate it better. And if you're here and you like to call yourself a chronic relapser or a repeater, stop calling yourself that dumb shit, because if that's all you think about yourself, that's all you're going to do with yourself. Yes, we will welcome you back with open arms, but our fellowship doesn't have a revolving door. Our fellowship has a door that once you're in, you do what you're supposed to do to stay in. Because it's never been a problem with copying. I've always had the ability to obtain. My problem has been the inability to maintain. I can get clean, but can I stay clean? And is clean enough? And the reason I ask that question is because that question is posed to us in our literature. When it talks about that social acceptability doesn't equal recovery. That just because we get back what either we never had or what we always wanted doesn't necessarily mean that we're spiritually fit to keep it. Because any time I allow my secondary to become my primary, I have a bad relationship with my spirituality. Because my spirituality is based in my recovery, how I love me so I can love you. I no longer have to worry about what you think about me because I am pleased with myself. I have to stop thinking that the process of recovery is going to happen by osmosis. That I'm going to be fertilized somewhere in the air and have a working knowledge of our 12 steps and our 12 traditions. That the best insurance against relapse is our steps, is our traditions. Our steps is how it works. Our traditions are why it works. And the reason that the traditions are not negotiable is because we don't take our life for granted. We know what taking our life for granted is about. And one of the things that happens is that a lot of times, and I could only speak from my experience, and if it happens to step on your feet, wear bigger shoes. Because one of the things is that I've learned a long time ago is that if I can't come from where I'm at, I don't need to come at all. And the reason I'm saying that is because I'd like to share the exact nature of what I go through on a daily basis in my recovery. Recovery hasn't been La La Land. I haven't wound up on Fantasy Island with a trick midget waiting for the plane. What I realize about recovery is that the more we uncover to recover, the bigger the R in responsibility becomes. And because the responsibility becomes greater, we take on more than we've taken on in the past. We start trying to get right with ourselves so we can be right with the world. And we're not going to be right with everybody. So why not take a chance on being right with yourself? Yeah. Because it's real nice to be able to wake up in the morning and look in your eyes and see your pupils and not see a bottomless pit of despair. It's real nice not to want to get even, because the only thing that happens when we get even is we feel resentment, we get into retaliation, and then we get into remorse. Because any time I try to force anything, it's going against God's will. Why? Because if it doesn't happen naturally, why am I trying to fix it? A lot of times we play, and I play a lot of value on my relationships. And this program is a program of relationships. It's a program of relationship with the first spiritual principle of honesty. And the honesty is not about getting honest with you. It's about getting honest with me and the exact nature of what makes me click. It's about how I always allow fear to paralyze me. It's about how I always wound up being in marriages, two of them to be exact, because I was afraid to be alone, and I was afraid that the day will come that someone will not claim the body. And one of the things that I realized is that I never knew how to have a healthy relationship. That my concept of love has always been to grab a hostage and to be a terrorist. And that the more you love me, the more I will terrorize you. And it wasn't because I was proud of those things. It was because it's all I knew how to do. Narcotics Anonymous is about forgiveness. It's about forgiving our spirits. It's about telling ourselves it's not a matter of being inadequate. It's a matter of being inexperienced. The theme of this convention is back to the basics. Yeah. But we don't have to worry about getting back if we're on. I don't have to go back to something that I know works unless I stop working it. Yeah. See, the clear evidence is out there. It's like ragu. It's in there. And what happens is that I realize from my experience that my concept of love was always to make me feel good, even if I made you feel miserable. That what I did in a relationship was I will deceive, decept, connive, and manipulate your love because I wasn't capable of loving myself. Because validation coming from you was more important than me loving myself. I've never known how to love. People that love themselves don't hurt themselves. And addiction hurts. Because if somebody did to me what I did to myself, I would have been electrocuted. But because I did it, and I'm a punk at heart, I'm not going to kill myself. And sometimes I wonder the many times that I woke up in strange places trying to figure out how I got there. My worry was not that I was in a place that I didn't know. My worry was, did they take the drugs? I used to love when the weather was bad. It gave me a good excuse to come home late. If it was a snowstorm, I celebrated. If it was a hurricane, I celebrated. And we also have to remember that since we're close to the holidays, for some of us who celebrate the holidays, that your disease doesn't get any stronger because it's a holiday. What it is that you give your disease that much power. Because it didn't matter if we had an occasion for celebration. If we wanted to get high, we got high. And my drug of choice was more. More of yours and less of mine. Because I always needed to keep the stash. And what I realized is that on this journey and on this process of recovery, a lot of times I may perceive things as things happening to me. I need to remember that nothing happens to me, it happens for me. There are opportunities for growth. They're either a lesson or a blessing, is what I do with the experience. Yeah. That sometimes we always hear that God will not give us more than we can handle. My only problem with that is, why does he have so much confidence? And it's real simple. If I call myself a member, I'm going to have to pay certain dues. And membership in Narcotics Anonymous is about attaining freedom. And the freedom that we talk about and the promise that we have, promise of freedom from active addiction, is more than just a promise of freedom from a substance. It's promise of freedom from our total self-centeredness. It's promise of freedom from our obsession and our compulsion, the two elements that make up all addiction. And it's important to remember that, because how many times have I said yes when I really wanted to say no? How many times as a man have I suffered from PMS? Power, money, and sex. You know, sometimes I think that I can define what love is all about. But what I realize is that when it comes to affairs of the heart, we're all amateurs. We all take this step by step. And one of the things is, it's real easy to love people that you don't know. Love somebody you do know. It's real easy to want to take a 10th step with a recovering addict or your employer, but how hard is it to take it with a person that tolerates our nonsense? One of the things is our Narcotics Anonymous medallion talks about that my gratitude speaks when I share and when I care with others the Narcotics Anonymous way. It talks about others, and others doesn't necessarily mean other addicts. Because it's about applying these principles in all of our affairs. What are principles? Principles have no beginning, they have no end. They stand on their own merit. They allow us to get from fear to faith. Why? Because we've come to believe. This is not something that is happening because of good thinking, thoughtful planning, or wishful thinking. This is something that has happened because of intervention and a decision that we made of ourselves, that we were tired of living the way we were living. Because what we found out was we weren't living. Our problem wasn't that we were living. Our problem was that we had it mixed up and we were surviving. I know how to survive, and I'm learning how to live. And I will never have the answer to the question mark. And that's why it is important that I exercise more periods in my life. And with periods, I get to the spiritual principle of acceptance. If I truly have a third step in my life, I give up the right to question, to complain, or to criticize about whatever may happen to me during the course of a day. Why? Because whatever happens to me, if it's God's will for me, And if I turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him, if I transferred him the power of my self-centeredness to become God-centeredness, I have no problem with accepting whatever goes down the pipe. And I need to say that it's a lot easier talking it than walking it. We can't be discouraged because a lot of times what we're trying to strive for, we can't have. Because there are bumps along this road. There are detours on the path. But the path is about patience, acceptance, tolerance, and humility. The path is about being gentle with ourselves, about putting down the baseball bat and picking up the feather. It's about realizing that we will make mistakes, but as long as they're not the same mistakes, there is a possibility for growth. That growth is painful, and the process of growth does involve pain. Why? Because it is the pain of growth, not the pain of stagnation. It is not the pain of being in a place that we already understand because we've been there and we want to go there again. Not through the repetition of the process, but because we commit the act again. What I learned about character defects is that their defects were my defense mechanisms that I used to survive in what I perceive as a hostile world. That my defects and my denial was manifested in a lot of ways. That it was manifested not only in active addiction, but in also ongoing recovery. Because shit happens. I can work a program that I claim to love if not for the fact that I will be tested for what I claim to believe in. And what I do understand is that verily through every difficulty there is relief. And the relief is not when you get to the end. The relief is as you're going through. The pain is subsiding. That sometimes it is more important to be at peace than it is to be right. Because a lot of times I have been right and have not been at peace because I forced something to be good instead of allowing it to be. I've always forced everything in my life. And in relationships, I try to force my love conditionally on another human being by not accepting them and loving them where they're at instead of where I wanted them to be. That if I'm looking at what was the object of my attraction, that if when I met her, she wore a short skirt, why the hell do I want to put her in a long one now? Where is my acceptance level? And one of the things that happens is that a lot of times we talk about lust being an issue in recovery. Lust is nothing more than just an overmastering desire, bodily appetite. It's when my squinching eye tells my good eye, I like to spit on that. Thank you. when I allow my lower extremity to rob my spirituality because I'm treating you as an object and not valuing you because I don't value myself. So a lot of times it's real easy to put the focus on the ones that aren't doing what we think they should be doing. If it is hard for you to look at, how much harder it is to live like that. Don't you ever once think that that person is in a lot of pain living like that? We need to remember that sometimes we commit murder in this fellowship. And we commit murder not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. What we do is we kill an individual's spirit through gossip, through innuendo. But you know what the acid test is at? When regardless of what we may have done to that individual, they don't go nowhere. It takes a hell of a program to stand up when everybody else is putting you down. It's real easy to accept people that accept the same things that I do. But there is strength in our differences. There is unity in our differences. There is a purpose in our existence. And everyone in this fellowship has something to offer. And don't think because you may have a couple of hours. And don't think that because you may be here and you may have views that we don't welcome you. Because desire is the only requirement and is a commodity that we do not measure. How much pain can you be in and be in a meeting and have to say that you're coming back? And you had acquired some time. And you got people who talk spiritually but walk devilish. Our literature talks about that when you come back, we welcome you back wholeheartedly and we give you an applause. And for those of you that are here that are coming back, I want to applaud you.